Thank you, Henrietta. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this week's Safety Hour conversation. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Brian Scott. I'm the Roots Financial Controller. And for my sins, I'm joined in the room today by Jason Barnes, who's our who's our new Chief Operating Officer. That's a good start for my career. For those of you that are wondering why you've got a finance controller taking a Safety Hour conversation, well, the honest answer to that is my boss was scheduled to do it and she was on leave, so she nominated me. In reality, why not? Finance is important, but safety is much more important, and it applies to all of us, whether we're office-based or out on the track. We've got the usual things to go through today, so we'll go through Safety Hour attendance, the incidents from last week, and I've got a couple of extras to do, and I'll round off with a little finance bit at the end. If there are any questions, we'll have a quick Q&A session at the end, and Jason will keep me in order and make sure that I don't do anything that I shouldn't do, like get his name wrong for starters.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
So, Safety Hour attendance for last week was at 57%. Now, normally everyone would say that's wonderful. I'm going to say that's actually pretty poor. We set ourselves a target of 67%. Just to give you an idea of what that means, we've got 1,830-odd staff on the route. So that means that just about 1,000 people had a Safety Hour conversation with their managers, with their teams last week. More importantly for me, it means nearly 800 didn't. Now, I know there'll be reasons for people being off and everything else. Safety in this organisation is the most important thing that we ever deal with. If we can't find an hour, half an hour, a couple of 15-minute slots to talk about safety, then I think personally there's something wrong with that. I've already been warned about being confrontational today, so I don't really care. So let's see how confrontational we can be. Close calls raised, again, we set ourselves a target of 58. So if you've got 1,830 staff, raising 58 close calls, identifying 58 items a week that have the potential to help people, is not much to ask. Last week we managed 37. So Jason, 37 as someone new to the organisation, what do you think that tells you?
Yeah, it does seem low to me as well with the number of people we've got and the hours that we work. Unsociable hours, the locations we work at, there must be a lot of close calls, a lot of near misses almost of safety issues that we can raise, and as everybody knows, we track them through to a conclusion so we can actually address some issues before we get to them. I personally raised two this morning to one relatively low level, which was people not wearing the lanyards in a workplace, which can pose a potential safety risk to us in the current times of heightened security, and also a more serious one where a desk almost fell apart in front of us as we leaned on it, and it was a stand-up desk, it was meant for that, and a piece of metal fell off it, so that was a near miss as well. But I really encourage everybody to report the close calls, particularly the ones where there's a real opportunity to stop an injury or an accident occurring for yourself or one of your colleagues. I can't stress highly enough, the more close calls, genuine close calls we capture, the better and safer our workplace is going to be for all of us. So I really encourage everybody to do that.
That's a very good point. And as a person who often argues this isn't a number chasing exercise, this is a culture thing. If you're looking around and looking for things that are unsafe. So anyone who's actually in the office at Basingstoke at the moment, I was going to pick a tip from someone else and say stand up because I'm looking at you, but I'm not. But just have a look around your desk area and just tell me whether or not there's any rucksacks or bags that someone's likely to trip over. Now, why the heck should that matter? Quite simply, trip over, bash your head on the desk. Next thing is you've got a fractured skull. It's little things like that we all ought to be keeping our eye open for, not necessarily the big stuff. And it's not snitching on your colleagues, it's actually looking after their welfare. So it's quite important.
That's absolutely right, Brian. in actual fact, the system itself doesn't even ask you to provide names. So it's about addressing the issue, fixing the issue, and then recording it in the system. And if we get these trends and we spot the issues around our network, we can remind people and get our key safety messages targeted at the issues where we could potentially injure people.
Exactly right. And the other thing, of course, is that the close calls, if the same thing is coming up over and over again, then we can tailor briefing materials and advice to staff accordingly. So it can't be stressed strongly enough. I am conscious I'm famed for this, for being rather negative. So starting with two bad things, I really ought to put a positive slant on it, in that the percentage of close calls that we close within the required timescales, where we have a target of 85%, we did actually clock off 92%, which is good. It means that what we're highlighting, we are sorting quickly. So let's have a little bit of a positive before everyone starts blaming me for being a doom and gloom merchant again.
And it really is a positive. So it goes to show the commitment's there from everybody concerned. If you raise the issues, 92% are closed out in really short time frames. So it's worth raising them, because we can get to the bottom of them.
Brilliant. Thank you. We have several incidents from last week. Apologies for those that are aware of them, but I'll just go through them, because I think with all of these there's a little learning point with each of them. The first one was a staff accident at Kew Bridge last week, when a team leader who's walking along the Cess finds some loose ballast which gives way, twisted his left knee. Lucky I suppose that he didn't break his ankle or anything like that. We are fortunate in that respect. Ice pack used to reduce the swelling, and the golden hour requirements were applied. The good news is that this didn't result in any permanent damage to the member of staff or lost time. But again, why would an office bloke know anything about being out on the track? Have been out there a bit of time myself. I am aware that there's lots of stuff there that you can trip over. I'm also aware that the ballast shoulder moves from personal experience. So the learning experience for that is just be aware and within reason watch where you're putting your feet. Second incident we had on the same day, we had a derailment, fortunately, off of the main infrastructure at the Eastleigh pre-assembly depot. DB Cargo, who are one of the facility users down there, had one of their wagons derailed over a set of hand points whilst they were carrying out a shunt move. Interesting arrangements in that yard, in that Network Rail staff patrol it, but we're not responsible for the maintenance. When they had a look, they found that three or four sleepers had been replaced consecutively after, believe it or not, a previous derailment, but they hadn't been packed properly. Again, there was evidence there that they'd used soil and sand and not ballast. The incident is subject to a DB Cargo investigation, and the arrangements we have for patrolling that are also being revisited. So again, the lesson to be learnt there is keep your eyes open. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. And if you report it, you may well save someone's life, save damage to the infrastructure, and any inconvenience that causes. Fortunately, that was in their siding. Obviously, the patrollers that we have are very competent, keeping their eyes open on the main line. That is the importance of their role. We've had a driving accident in the week. A member of Feltham S&T driving along the road. Car in front braked to turn into their driveway, and the driver went to brake themselves. Foot slipped off the pedal. Fortunately, resulted in a low-speed collision only between 5 and 10 mile an hour. Again, fortunately, there were no injuries sustained to either party and no apparent damage to the vehicle. Again, golden hour was applied and there was no lost time. Some people may be thinking that these sort of things that we're going through here are little and minimal of minimal impact and all the rest of it. I have a different view, funnily enough, and I think, again, this is a credit to the way the company's culture is changing, in that previously people would never have bothered to report things as minimal as that. It would have just been one of those things. the fact that people are now prepared to actually highlight safety instances, not for the blame culture, but actually to learn from what's happened. You can't change what has happened, but by advertising it, telling people what's happened, putting your hand up and say, oops, sorry, mucked up there, if that's applicable, that can help other people learn. And I'll maybe at the end of it come up with a bit of self-declaration for my own safety arrangements at home. I'll think about that one.
It's true. We've had a couple of incidents over the last few weeks where other road users have pulled out in front of our vehicles, so it's probably worth being cognizant about when you see other vehicles waiting to pull out, maybe give them that extra little bit of space where they shouldn't really pull out, but just to style your driving a little conservatively and try and give people extra space just in case they make that decision to pull out when we probably wouldn't do that ourselves.
The next one I've got here is that the driver of 1 Lima 37 down at Tisbury reported a track worker not acknowledging the train horn until the third time of sounding it. The driver did not declare the incident as a near miss, which is good news. I think, again, if we've got anyone here who's out on the track, I can't stress the importance enough of acknowledging the train driver sounding the horn. Purely, if nothing else, think about the driver. Until such time as you have acknowledged that you've heard him, he may well be thinking, sat in his cab, that there is a risk that he might hit you. So we need to be conscious of our own colleagues, maybe working for other organisations, but we're all one railway here. The other thing is that the closer that locomotive train gets to you, sounding his horn, daft and obvious as it sounds, the louder it gets. We have complained previously about drivers sounding off horns when they're too close to us. Anyone who's been in the unfortunate position of having a driver sound their horn when they're quite close to them, yes, it does leave your ears ringing. So it's in your interest as well as the driver's. We had a level crossing irregularity. Signal at Wimbledon lowered the crossing. Upon doing so, they realised they'd trapped a member of the public within the crossing next to the upside facing barrier. They corrected their error very quickly, fortunately, making a call on the radio to the driver, putting the signal to red. Once the signal timed out, they were able to raise the barriers and the member of public was released. This incident is subject to further investigation. The penultimate one we've got here, again, possession irregularity. I find this one particularly interesting. We had a member of staff who was travelling passenger. Obviously having their nose out the window, seeing what's going on, which I would advocate to everyone. And they noticed that the protection for a T3 possession may not, and that's the important thing here, may not have been applied correctly. So obviously you're whizzing past, don't necessarily spot it, but as I said earlier, they didn't think it looked right. So fair play to them, they made the phone call, and they got the ODM, the Operations Delivery Manager out, attending site, and sure enough it was identified that the irregularity had in fact occurred, and that the detonator protection was placed about 7 chains out of position and beyond the worksite marker. So fair play to the person who spotted that, full marks to them. The interesting thing here is it says the protection has been like this since approximately 01:16. The error was corrected and follow-up investigation, which involved McGinley's contract staff, is underway. And it's nice to see at the end of this little report, many thanks to the member of Felton Peaway for noticing and reporting this. This is exactly what we were saying earlier on about close calls and things like that. Keep your eyes open. That is quite a result for that guy. The last one I've got is a little bit unusual. I've deliberately left it till last because we had a staff accident reported and we had a member of staff out doing devegetation work, member of ground control contractor. When he got home, he noticed that he had 7 ticks on his body. Now, he's fortunate, he's been trained how to remove them, so he removed them safely. Why do we want to talk about ticks, especially if you're in an office? Well, the important thing to remember is that actually, if you're out and about walking the dog or anything like that, you could end up in the same situation. Apparently, we've had a very, very mild winter, so these little nasty beastie things are in quite great supply at the moment. Why are they so important? If you get a tick and it's not removed correctly, or you do not clean the skin, etc., you can end up with a very, very nasty thing called Lyme's disease. So if you are out working, the important thing, you've got to follow the guidance that we've got here, which says wear appropriate clothing, long sleeve shirt, long trousers tucked into socks. Consider using insect repellents. Keep an eye on skin, and if you find any ticks, get them removed. You have to be very, very careful removing ticks. They can be very small, sometimes as small as a freckle or a speck of dirt. Freckles for me, less of a dirt. But the important thing about removing ticks is you can't just grab hold of them and wrench them out. The little so-and-sos tend to leave their heads and bits of their body inside you, which is again what can cause infections. The easiest way to remove them, a pair of thin-handled tweezers as close to the skin as possible, and then gentle pressure to pull the tick off your skin, and then obviously clean, disinfect, etc. afterwards. The other thing important, if you're out with children as well, they'll be out rolling around on the grass and all sorts of stuff, so if you have children, it's well worth keeping an eye on them. And much as they might not like it, a shower or bath after returning from a little wander out, again, it can make sure these things go out. Any of you with pets as well, be aware that they can bring these ticks into your home on their fur, and these ticks will bite you. So, little bit of a thing there from a work-related incident that hopefully you can take out when you're out enjoying the summer, which apparently is next week. So we can look forward to that.
Didn't you say that last week?
I think I did, yes. It's 1 week a year, but I'm never sure when.
So it's a good message for home as much as work, isn't it? So
yeah.
Keep an eye out for them. Have a quick check over to your children, yourself and your pets, especially around the legs and below the knees.
Yeah. And the other thing, again, Grazia was kind enough to put me on a guilt trip yesterday. For those of you that aren't aware, this week is National Men's Health Week. And she sent out a note yesterday warning me, I think, of fat bellies. I was frantically looking for a tape measure at home last night because there are measurements on here that tell me whether I'm okay, risk or high risk. And if any of my team that are listening tell me I'm high risk, when I get back, there'll be serious problems. Why is what they call here belly fat important? Or rather, you need to avoid it. It can lead to heart disease. It's not only the beer belly that causes the problem, but it can get deep down into your body, start surrounding your vital organs. And despite your overall weight, if you are carrying a lot of, if you're carrying a lot of weight around your stomach, then you are at risk of cardiovascular disease. Stop laughing. Type 2 diabetes, I take after my father and my grandfather, being of a more rotund nature, and my father certainly had diabetes as a result of this. And there's all sorts of other things here that Grazia has highlighted that's a reason for looking after ourselves. So I thought we would raise that one. It would be remiss of me as a finance controller for being here and not mentioning something about money. And I am a firm believer in safety, and having worked on this industry for some years, I am a firm believer that safety comes before anything else. So my plea to everyone is that if you hear of an issue that is potential safety impact, that you believe or you're being told is being held up because of a lack of money, then please make sure your line manager is aware. If your line manager hits a blocker, then I will here and now make that make the offer that you should come to me and make me aware, and my boss in her absence would say exactly the same thing. Money should never get in the way of safety. That doesn't necessarily mean that we will spend unlimited amounts of money, because of course there are different ways of dealing with a safety issue, and throwing money is not necessarily the most important one. So that's my finance bit. And I just thought I'd mentioned earlier on about a bit of self-declaration here. Lots of people in my team know me and will know that I go on and on about safety. And my friend at home has told me off for indoctrinating her children, because I can sit in there and just say safety, and they will chorus back as their twins, is everyone's responsibility. And it was interesting, about a month ago, I was, she looks after my garden, she's very nice, and she decided that my apple tree needed pruning. So Brian, being safety conscious, says, right, I'll get the stepladder out. You're not going up that stepladder unless I foot it. And I was doing all the things about, have we got a work assessment in place, and have we done the risk assessment, and all the rest of this. And she was getting really hacked off with me after a while. And so she went up, and being vertically challenged, she got to the stage where some of the higher branches she couldn't reach. So me being me said, right, you hold the ladder, I'll go up the steps. So I'm stood at the top of the steps, and she's looking up whilst directing me, and then she stopped and she said, Brian, she said, you're always going on about safety, aren't you? And I, yeah, I am. She said, so tell me, she said, why you stood up that ladder with your shoelaces undone? Now, quick as a flash, I said they were fall arresters, which was a wasted joke because she didn't understand what fall arresters were. But it's a good point. A lot of our safety issues, my own personal belief, are down to behaviours. They're not because of a lack of money. They are down to the fact that people do things for whatever reason that, in hindsight, you think, why the heck would they do that? It is noticeable that, for those of you that follow accidents and things that we have on this railway, how the people who seem most susceptible to accidents are those that have been in the industry long enough. There is a phrase that says familiarity breeds contempt. I just think we all, whatever we're doing, we've seen the Take 5 for safety, you know, just stop for 5 seconds and think, if I do that, what's going to happen?
Absolutely, Brian. I'm a scuba diver, and one thing that you always do in scuba diving, if you've got any sense especially, is you never dive alone. You always dive with a buddy, and the Take 5 is almost mandated in the quick what we call a buddy check. So you just stop for a few seconds, check each other's equipment out, check your key equipment, make sure you've each got air, etc., etc. Check with its final check, are we ready to go? Yes, we are. This has been in place for years and years within scuba diving, and it is essentially your Take 5. It is, let's have a quick check, final run round. If you're going up a set of ladders cutting a tree this weekend, get somebody else to check your shoelaces. It is that, it's literally the quick check, right, what else do we need to do? Have we missed anything? Cross-check with a friend, a partner, somebody else on the job. Are we all set to go? Yes, we are. Let's do it safely.
Thanks, Jason. So that rounds up what I have. So Henrietta, this is the bit I've been dreading. So let's open up the lines and see if we've got any questions and see just how confrontational Brian's been today, shall we?
Thank you very much, Brian. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your phone. Record your name, then press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key *2. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. So just as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, press *1 on your phone, record your name, and press the hash key.
So this is the time where everybody's pressing the hash key and it all goes very quiet. So have a think. If you have got any questions and you've got something you'd like to ask either myself, Jason Bridges, the Chief Operating Officer, or Brian Scott, our host today, press your #1, is it? *1? And get your question onto us. *1, that is.
We have an incoming question from the line of
Steve Edwards, Steve Corey.
Steve, good afternoon.
Hello,
good afternoon, Steve. How are you? All right.
Yeah, very well, thank you. This isn't so much as a question, but more of an observation that I've made. It relates to one of the incidents where the gentleman didn't respond to the train blowing up.
Yep.
Just wanted to put out there, it's also really important that we get our guys where trains, where we do acknowledge trains and they don't acknowledge us. It's really important that we report that back as well, because this has got to be a two-way street, and if they're not filling their parts, then we need to make sure that our guys are letting somebody know.
Wholeheartedly agree. As you say, it cuts both ways. I wouldn't particularly want to be out there and having a train sneak up on me. And equally, we talked about right at the start of this close calls. That is again, once you've reported it, log it like that. If we find that we're getting loads and loads of instances of it, we can go to South West Trains and say, excuse me, would you mind rebriefing your train crew to look out for us like we're trying to look out for you?
Yeah, exactly that. Lovely. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the question.
And when such an issue does happen, also raise it as an incident straight to the route control. So it's the route control that you should be advising by the signaller, so we can make sure the driver's made aware as early as possible.
Thanks, Jason.
We have another incoming question from the line of
Adam Stewartson.
Adam, please proceed.
Hello, Brian. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Adam. Yeah, thank you. The phone number works. Adam?
again, just a comment, really, about the reporting stuff. Just, again, thanks to the member of Felton Peatway, who reported about the possession protection. Again, it could have been nothing, but in this case, it wasn't. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
That's really important, Adam. Thank you, and we will keep on thanking the guy. But again, it's been said on this call time and time again, if you do spot something, try and give as much information as possible. I'm aware of sometimes people just say, oh, it was like between Fleet and Farnborough, I saw something. You know, that's quite a distance. So if you can pick out any landmarks or anything like that that narrow down where the issue might have been, that helps with the investigation and everything else. So again, fair play to him. If you think it's wrong, say something. You're not shocking someone, you could be saving someone's life, and the more detail you have, the quicker we can get to it, the quicker we can sort it. Thanks, Adam.
Yep. That's all. Thank you.
There's no incoming question at the moment. So ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, press *1 on your phone and record your name and press the # key.
Thanks, Henrietta. I'm aware from being on the receiving end of this, there's nothing worse than the stunned silence that you get. That either means I've put everyone to sleep or we have no burning issues. Steve and Adam, thank you very much. I was worried about that, so I appreciate the questions. Anything else, Jason, before we close that you want to say?
No, I think it's really good discussion, some key points there. I encourage everybody to dial in when they're available for next week's Safety Hour. I'm probably going to try and attend as often as I can now. I think it's nice to have a conversational style. I've enjoyed it. think of your questions maybe before you come on. If people want to raise some issues, maybe post some questions on Yammer. If you're not a member already, have a look at Yammer. It's the Network Rail blogging and messaging tool that's available to us all on our personal devices or our work devices and also on our work computers. Get the message out there. Think about what we've discussed today. Think how that appertains to you in your workplace, and get them safety hours and them safety discussions held, because the more we put safety right at the forefront of our minds and we raise our close calls and close the close calls off and really think safety and take our five before we make our decisions, we'll all be getting home safer every day.
Thanks, Jason. And on that point, just to pick up on the recording, please, if you've been on the call today or if you're having safety hours with your team, please make sure that you record your attendance either using the Wessex Safety Hour email address, or if you've got the app on your phone, doing it that way. If we log what we're doing, then we can give ourselves a pat on the back next week. Thank you all very much for your time. Stay safe. And we'll look forward to hearing from you or speaking to you next week. Thank you very much.